I mean, I think the listeners have probably got to appreciate, even the people watching, are probably going to appreciate more the red bathrobe you got on, TJ. Talk about that. Covered in like...
My robe?
Yeah, the robe, bro.
Listen, first of all, I'm in the earliest time zone of the group right now. It is 8:14 a.m. here in Los Angeles, California, so I'm still half asleep.
Bro, you're coming in with the Rob Jackson beauty routines. That's why you look like you're getting ready to go to church.
Speaking of beauty routines, speaking of self-care, I went to a new barber last night. I got some recommendations from the BMR group chat. And so I went to a new barber. My boy hooked it up. You know, I had to pay them LA prices. And I was like, this is expensive. But it was worth it. So my man broke down how he was going to cut my hair. He was like, this is how you got to do your waves. I'm going to cut it with the grain and then against the grain and come back with the grain. I was like, okay. Then he was like, I'm going to throw on top of your haircut the beard wash for free this time. You know, he's trying to get me to come back.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, I'm going to do it for free this time. So he did the beard wash. He had his own beard wash and everything. Man, I came out there looking like a million bucks. You can't see the hair in the waves right now, but you see how crispy my beard is. So, PK, don't make that face. Don't hate.
It's all cause of vibe, man. See where you making this dude. See what you make turning CJ into, man.
You the biggest hater in the group.
Hey, man, I ain't no hater. It's just, man, a lot of that extra stuff, I don't really. I like all my stuff plain.
Bro, if you don't want to look good, just say that. Just say that.
Hey, I wake up looking good, man.
Cap.
That's you ain't got to try to look good, man. If you look good, you just look good.
You know, you'll look better if you took that Eagles gear off.
See, that's why I know you're a hater, man. That's how I know you're a hater.
Oh, you did double up, though, with a cap on the top, though. So it was like, yeah. We know he's an Eagles fan in the house, so yeah.
Yeah, it's Super Bowl Sunday, fellas. Super Bowl Sunday.
It is. You got to rep your team. Win, lose, or draw, rep your team. You know, no bandwagoners out here.
Do you know what? Just going back to the self-care thing, like, I'm getting so many DMs and messages about Rob's self-care. It's getting ridiculous. It's becoming quite a popular segment of the show. I feel like we need, like, it seems like we need a segment now every week, like your new tips.
Hey, we can do it. I mean, if they want to send some questions in, we can go from there, or I can just tell what I do, and we can get it going.
What size? I don't want to encourage you, but like you are going to go for it.
What size rollers do you use for your curls, Rob?
For my curls, bro. I don't use any rollers for my curls. So look. So when it comes to the curls for the hair, I do like a hair mask, actually. Nah, this is going to be, y'all going to clown me. But once, like, every couple of weeks, if you crack a couple eggs and massage it, it makes the hair stronger. Like, you don't have, like, split ends and stuff like that, bro. And you let it soak in there. You wash it out. Get wash all that egg yolk out. And then I put the curl shampoo, the curl conditioner in there, and I let that sit for like another 10 minutes. PK already mad. And then I wash that out. Wash that out, right? And then I put a bonnet on. After you take the bonnet off, you spray it, and then I put the leave-in conditioner, and then I got the bounce. We moving and grooving, baby. We moving and
PK's grooving. Honest, I did not know it was going to be that many steps to the process. But when you get in the lab, you got to do what you got to do. For waves, you know, we got to make sure you do wash it and put your hair grease or your activator, whatever you're putting in to get done. But that's a thorough process you got there, Rob.
Totally. I agree with that.
I do the wash routine twice a week. Now I don't do the mask. I don't do like the egg mask for the healthy hair every twice a week. But in general, I wash my hair on Sunday and then Wednesday because I don't want to get it too like frizzy and messed up. But we go from there. And then every now and then, if I'm on a go and my curls ain't looking sleek, I spray water, leave some leave-in conditioner back in there, and we good to go.
PK's looking like a disappointed father right now. Just like his screw face.
Hey, PK, one of them old school fathers.
Man.
You got a hair routine, son.
Hey, that wasn't even no serious question. I was just joking. And we got a whole tutorial out of
hair routine. Anybody that listened to me, look it up. Look what the egg does to your hair. It's good, bro. I'm telling you. It'll work. It'll make yourself strong.
But we're going to have to fact check this. We got to look this one up.
I'm Googling it right now.
I'm going to let y'all do that, man. I ain't.
So if we get a place together for Boston, is this what you're going to be doing? Is getting like a whole load of eggs coming in?
Nah, my hair, because when I come into Boston, I'm going to have the hair up. I'm going to have the man bun because it was a killer last year. I was killing them.
I think you should do cornrows, man, for Boston.
Man, I don't know about that. That ain't me. I'm light skinned, bro. I gotta go another level. You know what I mean?
If Drake can do cornrows, bro, if Drake can pull it off, you know, how you can't do it?
Yeah, you can do the cornrows with the fade.
Look, do egg whites help hair? Yes. Hair, it keeps the hair moisturized and soft. Thank you.
Oh, I think Rob's trying to like avoid the cornrows issue.
Totally deflected that.
It's like Wesley Snipes for like all the cornrows. I don't know.
Well, I'm just trying.
I actually went back and looked at that film again. It was such a classic film, Devin Mr.
But no, look.
I don't know what made me think of that, man. But
if we get a place together for Boston, I guarantee there'll be a night. At least all of us have a face mask on at the same time.
Not by choice.
You'll thank me later, man. You will thank me. Marcus, for as much airtime as you get and how famous you are, you'd be like, man, I should have been doing this a long time ago.
You're trying to get that confessional out of me video. Man, I don't know what's been going wrong. Do you know what I mean? All these years, now I've seen the light. Oh, man. Who knows? Maybe. But obviously, we're still trying to find a place for Boston. Like, availability is crazy and, you know, just trying to find the right thing. But, like, the stuff you sent over, Rob, was quite funny because I was thinking, there's a theme here. There's a gym. Even in the building of close proximity. So, that's like one of the requirements.
If we're going to get a place together, it has to have a gym because I got to work out. I mean, if I don't, I'm just going to feel, like, lethargic when I'm around there. So I got to stay. I still got to stay moving and lifting weights.
Man, I thought you were like, lifting weights. I thought you was on the row machine now.
I am, but I mean, I got to get back to lifting weights eventually. I'm going to be lifting here soon. I'm starting tomorrow. Going back to, like, lifting more than just doing, like, simple weights to make the arms look good type thing.
What about body weight stuff? Worst case, if there's no gym.
I mean, yeah, I can crank out some push-ups and do some crunches.
Yeah, do some calisthenics, man.
I know you've got to look good for the photos and stuff, but, like, come on, bro. Like, you can still do body weight stuff to this.
Worst case. It don't hit the same.
Do you know the funny thing? I reckon, like, it's all been a lie. All the stuff on Instagram, the early morning starts, and we're going to see you, like, in the gym at 8:01. It's all been a lie.
That ain't going to happen. It might happen because I won't have the kids to worry about. I ain't gonna have school to worry about or work, so I might be able to sleep in. So
take it. Because CJ, you're not doing Boston, are you? Are you coming down still?
Yeah. So unfortunately, I will not be making that trip. It was just too much trying to make that stop there first and then go to London. So we just gonna come directly to London.
That's fair. Especially with Tokyo as well. Like you're saying, yeah, Tokyo, Boston, London. There's a lot of. Yep. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's Hollywood. Hollywood couldn't get his publicist to sign off on that extra trip. They was like, nah, we need you. We need you fresh for the time change when you go to Tokyo.
The Tokyo update. Did my first run in almost 4 weeks yesterday.
That wasn't the update we wanted. We wanted the update in the Jordans. We gave us the running update.
People don't care if you're running. We want the Jordan update.
I thought it was a wedding podcast.
Hey, the time is ticking, bro.
Today is the 11th, bro. The 11th. You are running out of days.
Y'all got a countdown?
Like, hey, I got it on my watch. A countdown to CJ getting his Jordans and the video and all that, man. Running out of days, man.
Listen, I go to Austin this week for a conference. As soon as I come back from the conference, the J's are getting caught. I'm purchasing my J's.
Which ones are you going for?
He don't know. He don't know.
You know, I was looking at
look the for ones, the Jumpman logo.
You know, the ones are, you know, the OG classics. Looking at the one, I was looking at the threes. Is it threes?
Yeah, it was the threes, and I think the other pair was the 12.
You can't go wrong with threes, man.
Yeah, so
are you on a sneakers? I look at that.
That's like the top three. I'm gonna just go to the store. I told you I'm gonna go to the store. The whole production just for y'all.
Okay,
man. I was looking at this reel the other night, and those yellow ones that came out last month. You know the ones I'm talking about. They kind of like a they are yellow, but it's kind of like an off yellow. They didn't do too good. They came out last month.
Which ones?
You better grab them.
Nah, I just thought that would be a cool one to have for Boston.
Yeah, talk to my these.
It's not too loud. You know what I'm saying? Because I know they got the Laneys, but that blue and yellow is just loud. Nah, them the mids. But they had some ones that are like that as well. Let me see.
You said right. Blue and yellow?
Nah, not the blue and yellow. These are just all, they like white, yellow, and something else.
Oh, yellow, okay. So it got like the black swoosh.
Yeah,
and then the yellows, yeah.
Nah, not them, them.
It's the S opposite, though. I know the one you're talking about.
See? CJ about to pull up in some shacks, man.
Shaquille O'Neal. Hate on Shaq. Shaq's providing shoes for for kids in Walmart.
Do you remember those Reebok pumps, basically, with the tongue? You just pump it up. Yes, that's what you're going to turn up in, those old school
trainers. Like, I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to make sure they light up, too. I'm going to get some light up joints.
Some sketches. The sketches.
That could do.
And he's going to have the wheels on the back, the wheelies or whatever they used to call them.
The wheelies. I think Usher going to have some of them on for the show, for the halftime show. Going to come in the situation. Just rolling.
Oh, my word. I can imagine, actually, that would be quite good for Usher to announce if you go with those wheelies in the back of shoes. Just the way it just kind of moves.
That was the time. And then they got banned from school. Like, no wheelie shoes in school coming down the hallway.
Yeah. Hey, when y'all do Berlin, you know how they had the marathon for the skaters?
Yeah.
The day before. And then, have y'all ever seen them when they cross the finish line?
No.
How they kind of get up on their heels? Like, they get on the heels when they trying to get across the finish line. It's kind of like they lean to the finish line. So instead of, you can't lean on skates, so they kind of get up on their heels like the kids used to do with the little wheelie shoes.
Try to get that extra advantage, basically.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one. No, I haven't seen that, to be honest. Going back to Jordan, so real quick, though, you did convince me, actually, to go for the craft freeze, actually.
I got them pulled up right now. I need to see the in-picture details. I need to see your guys' actual pictures, because I can still purchase them.
Man, that's a nice... That's a nice shoe, man.
I love the way he has it to hand. Like,
he said, that's a nice shoe. Let me show you it in my collection.
Nice shoe, man. Jordans, man, I come in my room, I unbox them, check them out. I might put one on all, and then they
you probably kinda, do like a little dance as well. I can imagine.
They kind of stay. They stay in my room by the bed for like the first week, and then after that, they'll go to the shoe. I'll go put them in there with the rest of the shoe.
That's how I feel like, too. So whenever I get my new Jordans or new shoes really lately, I just put them in my office. And I just forget about them. And I just go back and like, oh, man, these are nice.
Yeah, they don't get put up right away. I got to kind of check them all out. It's a real white, like a very bright shoe that you ain't going to wear it unless it's a nice, clean, sunny day.
Man, no, when we get off of here, send some pictures, like detailed pictures of them. Cause
they nice, bro.
I'm fresh.
You know what they remind me of? You remember them Lowe's that you got last year, Rob?
Yeah.
They remind me of that shoe. That's what they remind me of. So I'm glad I got them.
I think they're a nice shoe though. But like, I'm gonna save mine for summer. I think just the way they look.
Yeah, you definitely ain't going to wear them in. Y'all get a lot of rain over there this time of year, right, Marcus?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the first of all, problem for me and my Jordans, like, especially living in the UK, you weather check, and most of the time the weather is just crap. So you cut, you're like, oh man, I can't wear my Jordans. So I end up just wearing a lot of time my the black cement threes, because you can, they're kind of okay. Yesterday I tried to wear the bread fours, the OG ones with a new buck basically, and it started raining. I was like, I gotta go home. Change my shoes. So hopefully if I can get a pair of the Reimagine, the leather ones, then that will help so of my first world problem of not getting them dirty.
They did a shock drop on them in the States. Did y'all get a shock drop?
Yeah, they did. I missed it though.
They did a shock drop, man, and I did not get them. I'm talking about, I was distraught, man. Like, I had like 3-4 people trying to get them for me, and I got an L on everybody account.
Oh, man. When do they go live? Is it for you? Is it this weekend?
Next Saturday.
Yeah, same.
It say they got like, what, 500,000 stock. So I'm thinking that I better get it. I'm hoping that, like, I don't have such bad luck with Nike app and sneaker app lately. I might go the route, like, I might go Finish Line or Foot Locker or JD Sports or something. Because they'll do a lot of, like, exclusive access. And then if you got a certain amount of points, you know, you can kind of increase your odds of getting the shoe. And so I might try on there, man, because I just been taking L's on the sneaker app and on Nike app. The way they did the Alpha Fly 3s, man, that was crazy, man. Like, I'm talking about, they were gone in no time.
Rob, how them 3s?
The 3s? Bro, I only tried one shoe on.
I just want PK to be jealous of him. That's all. I just want to show him I'm running my ASICs.
Hey, speaking of ASICs, I know y'all saw my post the other day. Got those Meta Speed Sky Pluses for $75.
Hey, how much? What size of them AJ3s you get? Them Alpha Fly 3?
10.
Oh, I can't mess with them.
Small foot gang over here.
But yeah, I got to get a pair of them some kind of way.
This week's episode is brought to you by Pillar Performance. Pillar is a sports micronutrition company, and I'm testing out a few products in my build for the Boston London Marathon Double. So what I'm going to do over the next few episodes is share the products that I'm using and how I find it. I'm using the Motion Armor tablets, and coupled with the fact that I'm coming back from a ligament injury, it's something I'm using as part of a holistic recovery plan. So one of the benefits of the product is it helps relieve joint inflammation. So I'm going to give you my feedback after using it for a little while. If you really want to find out more, go online and type in pillarperformance.shop and you can get 15% off your first time purchase using the code Marcus. Okay, with that being said, let's head back to the episode. What are you guys' thoughts on the Olympic trials?
Man. Hey, I knew it was going to happen. I called Connor winning it from the jump. I mean,
he was gifted the W.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I thought he was going to win. Somebody that wanted him to win. Do I think he really won? No. We all know Clayton Young just gave it to him, but it was a good race. They used the hell out of Panning, though. They used him. They let him carry it all the way.
He did that to himself, man. He did that to himself.
Yeah, that was on him.
He could have did a Kipchoge moment. He could have looked back at them and like, come up here and take the line. You know, stay by off and behind me like this.
But yeah, Panning. I was actually pulling for him though. After I found out he's from Indiana, I was like, oh, let's go. But it's crazy because I looked him up on Instagram during the race. He only had like 2,000 something followers. And I was like, all right, cool, bet. And then I checked like earlier this week, he up to like 6,000. I thought that was interesting, but nah. He ran a hell of a race. I'm happy for Connor and Young. You know, I think they'll have a good showing.
It's crazy how stuff can happen on race day and then how stuff is in practice. Because I watched a little, they got like a little, some of their training documented on Dial or whatever.
Yeah. I watched
that, man, and he cooked that dude on one of them workouts. Like, Connor, like, shot out, left dude back, kind of pulled Connor? Away from him. Yeah. Man. You know, in a workout. Yeah, he's like nice. A 3x3.
Yeah.
I think they did like a 3x3.
Workouts are not racist.
It's not
workouts
racist.
Workouts are not racist.
Exactly, but that day, man, even if it was racist, I don't think he had it in him, but I do agree on race day. It seemed like dude could have pulled away if he wanted to. But I mean, the whole purpose of the trials was top, well, in this case for the U.S., top two when you win. So if you was in the top two, you got a W.
I also think it's right that the two that unlocked it got it. So,
well, both of them unlocked it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They both unlocked it and they both got it. I think that's dope in itself.
Yeah.
How hard I train with my team teammates, Hannah, Ned. I am not about to give my boy the W. I'm never doing that. Unless we plan on splitting that prize money at the end. But outside of that, I'm never doing what he did.
It seemed like they had some type of agreement for that, because I don't think you were just like, let me just let you have this one. So
yeah.
I don't know. Do they get prize money for the trial? Is it prize money? It is?
Oh yeah.
And kudos. Yeah.
Nah, then I can't.
You gotta get the kudos.
Nah,
you get paid.
I would have looked back at CJ and be like, it's over for you, buddy.
What about the deal we had?
Hey, I'd have tripped Rob or something.
Push him over.
He would have tripped me because he just hating because he got passed by a pretty boy at the end.
Rob, I'm gonna tell you something outlandish. You finna be like, what? So I was listening to Sweet Life Podcast and Rambling Runner. They had Nathan Martin on. He got seventh place at the trials. And he was saying before he started working with his coach, he working with now McCurdy, that he was only running 80-mile weeks and was running that 2:11 time on 80 miles a week, bro.
Yeah, but what was his background before?
That's wild.
Oh, he grew up running. Like he
is that,
ran collegiate.
Yeah, I didn't grow up running. I'm trying to catch up.
I know. Well, I'm just saying it's just be different levels to, you know, training.
No, I do feel like once you get to a certain level, though, you probably don't have to run as many miles to be as good. But then at the same time, some of those guys that are that good are still running like 130-mile weeks, 140. That's wild.
Yeah, but if it's your job to do that, it's a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to look at
it. It was easier, but it's just that's what you do, you know? You got time to do it.
Because I know when I spoke to Nathan on my podcast a while back, he was still working. Is he full-time athlete? Is he part, I'm not saying part-time athlete, that sounds horrible, but is he working and still training as a pro athlete?
Well, he coaches. So. He coaches cross country.
Okay.
I think he's like a high school coach.
Yeah.
Or it might be collegiate.
But he did say he went to Flagstaff. He did say he took 3 to 4 weeks to go down to Flagstaff to train for this one for the first time. And then he said as soon as he got there, they were dropping him. Because, you know, the elevation and just the change of environment. He's working with people now that's at his level or beyond his level. So it was an adjustment period. But, you know, the great thing about when you do go and train and work with people that are at your level and above your level, now you see a different side of the game. Like, this is what y'all are doing. I'm going to come for you. So now he has that experience. So it'll be really interesting. Well, his next, you know, these next couple of years, what level he can get to now, because that's just natural talent, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy talent.
Yeah. And I mean, even not even based on the talent, like the mileage only helps if your body can absorb it. If you're not really absorbing running 110 miles a week, then it really ain't helping you. It look good. It sound cool. But are you really, would you benefit better from running 75 miles a week, you know? That's what a lot of people got to look at, because if that's like Kipchoge running, 110, 120 a week, but for 6 days he at camp and the only thing he doing, run in the morning, come back, cold bath, take a nap, get up, eat, sit down, relax, do their little strength, stretch, read a book. Like they totally relaxing outside the running and maybe a little strength exercises here and there. They like total relaxing, and the reason they do that is so their body can absorb all that running. Now, if Kipchoge was, you know, say like us, everyday life, you go out early in the morning, run, hurry up and come back, rush, take a shower, brush your teeth, grab something out the door, go to work 8 to 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, come back home. Now you got to cook. Man, you're not going to absorb no 120-mile week with that type of schedule.
Could you imagine like a less Yoda-like American version of Kipchoge working a full-time job training? It would be coming out all those quotes.
Yeah, you
like, man.
All them positive quotes would turn out to like, man, fuck this. Fuck that record.
Hey, I be saying that all the time, man.
I gotta pay bills, man. I'm living by these damn bills and these damn kids.
Oh, man.
I work a
raised. I'm on straight.
Before that, and we'd be like, if you're sensitive, it's explicit content coming up right after this ad. That'd be the most impressive thing about the trials, too. It's a lot of people that do work full time, got families, and have gotten themselves to that point to make it to the Olympic trials.
Yeah, you got to have some structure, man. If you're going to work a full time job, like, what's the guy that won Boston a few years back from Japan?
Oh, Yuki.
Yuki.
Back in 2018.
Yuki a beast, though.
Oh, man, he's a beast. He's got over 80. He's got over 80. He's got the record of, like, so far, I think it's over 80 sub 220 marathons. Like, he's nearing 100.
Insane.
The man is a fucking beast.
Yeah. Seriously.
But I've met him in real life. He's a nice guy, but, like, he's just, yeah. Sorry, man, you were saying.
Yeah, so he seemed like he just, like, mellowed out in his lifestyle. So, like, he's one of them guys where he's not going to get rattled. It seemed like if somebody threw beer in his face, he would have the same calm look. He'd be like to wipe it off.
I'm gonna fuck you up, basically.
Yeah,
you gotta pay for that.
And even if he was gonna mess somebody up, he would calmly just reach out, grab him by the pop, 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 throw him to the side, and then go right back to eating. Like, he just like seemed like he even killed, and I think that helps. That helps your body like not build up the cortisol levels from being stressed out and all that stuff, and you're able to absorb the training a lot better. Those 100-mile weeks and stuff like that.
So basically, if you're dishing out the SmackDown, you need to make sure you're doing it with a smile on your face to keep the stress down, basically.
Keep the stress down. That's what I learned from that. Seriously, man. Like, during training, especially during training, like in the block, if you can keep your stress levels down, it'll help you out with the training.
Speaking of training, it looks like you've picked up yours lately.
Well,
you said you were struggling with it, but it looks like you've been.
Hey, I appreciate y'all, man. I know we joke all the time, but I honestly, man, like, y'all are pretty much like an inspiration. Like, I kind of look at all three different guys doing three different things, but y'all all have goals and y'all all figure out how to get there on your own. So that kind of helped me, you know, when I feel like, dang, this ain't going. I don't want to do this. Something like that, you know, it can help you focus and lock in. And once I get locked in, I'm good. So last week was a decent week. I wanted to run 6 days, but I only ran five. This week, I've got in 5 days so far, and I'm going to get out and get my long run in today, see how that feel. I actually ran fast for the first time since really New York. And even New York, I didn't really run fast. I guess since, like, some speed work back before Chicago. And hey, it felt pretty good. It actually felt pretty good. I actually kind of surprised myself. Like, I put in a workout, and I kind of left myself an out because I was like, if it get a little hard, then I'll drop down to a little slower pace and then maybe not do the last rep and just go into the cool down instead of doing the last rep. But I actually was able to hit all, like, five of them right on the nose, like 5:58, 6 minutes flat, 5:59, 6. So it was all consistent, so. Maybe the last dance in Boston might be, it could be my course PR. Maybe I can get a course
extended
PR.
Hey, that's what I'm hoping for too. Since it's my last dance, I want a course PR as well.
Yeah, I want to get a course PR. I've been kind of breaking the race down mentally in my head to this point, but if I can just get them heels out the way and not cook too much of your juice, then yeah, you can have a fast Boston time. Because the first 15, you should be all right without burning the gas. And then make that right turn up Newton and hit them four hills, man. You come out on top of that fourth hill, recover, and then, like I said, you just got to gas it. You got to do a Sarah Hall, man. I want to finish a race like that one time, man. Sarah Hall, I know she didn't make the team, man, but to see her, like, gut it out, cross the finish line and lay out on our back. You know, that's all you can take pride in, man.
I did that my first Boston. They took me to the tent. They took me to the tent, bro. Oh, man.
Definition of empty in the tank.
Man, that last 2 months. Because for me, it was my second marathon. So you go from running Indy, all flat, first marathon, all treadmill training, 2:58, and then
Indy
go to Boston.
Indy ain't all flat. It's a couple hills there, but it's not too, like,
yeah, it ain't
crazy,
Boston,
but it's a couple in there.
And then I go to Boston, and then I'm like, man, this last two, It was like right after we passed the sit-go sign, really. I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to finish this race. And then, like, it was getting closer and closer. I'm starting to get in the dizzies. I'm starting to, like, throw up a little bit. Like, I can just feel it coming up. I was like, oh, this is not good. I get to the finish line. You know how that flip the switch and it's just over. I flip the switch. My knees start buckling. I look like Bambi. And then I just drop down. And it was like, you need help? I was like, man, I can't get up. They pick me up. And I'm shivering. I'm shaking like something wrong with me. They put me to a tent. Wrap me on a foil. Give me some electrolytes. Because I was shaking.
Hey, that's a good thing, though, man. That means you pushed everything out that you could possibly push out.
I was scared there for a second. That's my worst marathon, too. So I always think about that marathon.
Experience, though, isn't it? Experience.
A lot of people get, though. You know, a lot of people get that feeling. They're trying to push and grind it out, stay on pace to close out the race. But, you know, your body gets exhausted. 26 miles, long ways.
Do you know with like Galen Rupp as well? He threw up.
This
has happened to exactly the same in Manchester. I threw up exactly at the finish line. And I know it's like when you've got like all the photographers just taking photos of you. My last, literally, I've got like 5 or 6 pictures, like the full stream and the video of me. Like,
it's low key a dope photo, though.
That's crazy, man. They still snapping pictures of you sitting there throwing up.
Oh, yeah, it's a dope photo.
He on that account wrecked on purpose, just done for right at the finish line.
Did you get those pictures, Marcus? Did you?
I got the pictures and I got the video. And the funny thing is, right, there's a guy behind me. Do you know when like some people's their legs go all funny? He did that funny dance and he sort of fell over. All the medical stuff are rushing to me. And he's just like, it's like crawling forward and stuff. A comedy of errors when you look at it.
Hey, you need to post some pictures, man, on your next track workout. You need to post the pictures with you throwing up.
You went hard on your track workout. We know you actually gave good effort because we see them pictures. We know you won. Point shaving the track workout.
points. But no, I think jokes aside though, like same what PK was saying though, like when I'm like, oh man, I don't want to do this like strength workout. Oh damn, I bet Rob's really done it like 4 in the morning.
You can hear Rob. Who's going to carry the boat?
Man, somebody got to do it. That's how I be thinking like, when I'm doing it, I was like, oh man, somebody got to do it. Might as well be me, so.
Hey, Marcus, then after you grind the workout, when you get finished, then Rob pop up in your head again and be like, okay, Marcus, let's go get our eyebrows threaded.
This slander is crazy. Oh, man. I really do hope we end up getting the Airbnb together in Boston. So y'all can at least, if y'all not going to do it, y'all can at least come and watch. It's actually pretty.
I come
this document. We need to document.
I come and document it. Just let me know what time, but I don't think I'm going to do that.
How do you keep your stress levels down when you're going through a training block?
Drink.
Oh. Man.
That's what the answer.
Oh, my God. He really said that.
Hey, man, how you a drink, man? Nah, seriously, like, but, you know.
In moderation, guys. In moderation.
Yeah, of course, in moderation. Don't get drunk. Drink and drunk is two different things. But nah, like, you know, have your drink every now and then. Like, give yourself a reward. Like a lot of time what I do is, if I know I'm already kind of low on the tank, then what I do is, because normally on Fridays, I'm going to the liquor store, give them whatever I'm going to drink that weekend on Friday. And so I tell myself, though, you're not going to drink until after you complete your long run. And so I
hope so.
That's
so take before the long run, bro.
hey, what's the drink of choice? Like, what's your drink? What's your drink?
I've been going for like a cider or like a wine or something like that. Like, I used to do the Ciroc. I don't really too much do that no more. But every now and then,
drink wine.
Yeah.
And you make fun of me for getting my eyebrows threaded.
What's wrong?
I love wine.
Hey, I love wine.
Wine for the heart.
Hey, Jesus drank wine, man. Come on, man.
He sure did. The Lord drank wine.
So how you think Black Jesus ain't gonna drink wine?
I took a wine tasting class in college. It was an easy credit. We just drink wine the whole class. I'm just saying, like, I just
so you know how to do wine. It. You know, you make sure you it
yeah,
sniff
you smell
up
it.
Nostril.
Yeah,
get the notes.
Swish it around.
I'm not doing all that, man. I'm just gonna drink it.
PK, I know you ain't doing all that. You're
gonna open the top, but it's a bottle.
I did not see PK as a wine guy. I guarantee none of the followers thought he was a wine guy. He don't come off.
We need to poll that. We should poll that when this comes out.
Because he's not a wine. He don't give wine. I mostly
drink beer, but yes, I drink wine.
Beer is trash. I don't drink beer. I drink margaritas. Strawberry margarita.
Oh, man.
It's a wine or a margarita, baby.
And he talking about really drinking wine. And he said, I drink margaritas with the umbrellas on it.
Sure do. I guarantee more people drink my margaritas than you with the wine or the beer.
Yeah, women. You
know, I know about that one. Wine pretty popular, bro.
But wine, I love universal. Wine is universal. It ain't going to be a lot of guys that say, yeah, I'm going to the bar for some margaritas.
I will be one of them. I promise you that.
Do you know, I love the fact you gave like a proper honest answer, because usually people, you know, on social give you the answer of like, how do you unwind and, you know, take the stress out of your life? Well, firstly, I go into a quiet room, you know, I put some calming music on and I meditate. Nah. PK's like, I get some drinks. I get my drinks to it.
Man, that was authentic, though. That was really authentic. That's some real stuff.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something else, too. Like, I'm a real big, like, movie fan. Like, I like going to the movie. I go to the movies by myself and watch a movie. So, like,
I do it too.
I can do that.
And yeah, I can, like, sit at the house on the weekend and just watch movies. If it's a good movie, like, I like watching movies.
What's the last movie? Lifetime.
I like watching Lifetime.
It's a Lifetime a joke? I could tell the way you'll throw that. That's some shade to you.
The dude just said Lifetime.
I like Lifetime. I know PK would be against Lifetime because that's
I'm not
up there getting your eyebrows threaded. Lifetime.
I'm not against Lifetime, but it seemed like the few times that I've seen a Lifetime. If you ever look at any of the Lifetime movies, it's always gonna be a movie that's gonna bash men. It's either gonna be the man beat on his woman, or the man cheated on this woman, or the man stole all this woman money. It's just like,
I like it during Christmas.
On Lifetime is gonna be the man.
The movies are all the same. I watch it during Christmas, Lifetime. So
if you watch it during Christmas, then the man gonna leave the family on Christmas and they ain't gonna have no presents.
No, it's always it's either the girl or the guy goes back to their hometown and they fall.
Oh, it's one of them Hallmark love stories.
Yeah, Hallmark boys.
I do like a cheesy love story movie.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah, I watch a cheesy rom-com. I do like a good rom-com.
Yeah, so have you a nice drink, you know, chill out, watch a good movie, have some laugh. Go to a comedy club, that's pretty cool too. Like going to some live comedy, stand-up comedy. Mm. That can be funny. Like hang out with some friends and watch live comedy. It'd be some funny guys some out good there, man.
There's been some good stand-up, like Dave Chappelle's one recently. Netflix has been a good one.
Yeah, that was good.
I don't know. Have you seen him live?
Nah, I haven't. He's big time now, so.
Yeah.
It's going to be kind of hard to get to him.
A year and a bit ago, I think him and Chris Rock and some special guests came over. And I know it sounds weird, but when you see someone in person, you can, like, really appreciate his artistry in the way he delivers a joke and sets the scene up and tells a story.
Yeah.
Like if I tried to do it, like you guys would be like, no. Yeah. But when he does it, it looks so easy, but it's not.
Yeah.
Unless you do appreciate it when you see it and like in person.
Yeah, it's kind of like a settlement. I think Dave Chappelle do the best at it. Like, cause he'll get up there and he'll actually tell a story around the joke. So you really get caught up in the story. And then when you get to the joke, you be like, man, that's crazy. And it makes the joke that much better. Because it's authentic, because it's a real story, and the joke is in the story, and then you kind of, he one of the best at that.
Yeah, because he does it like we're chatting now, whereas if, like Chris Rock is still funny, but like he does it in a different style. Like he does it in a very much like his voice, he changes his voice, and it's quite physical. Loud. Yeah, you couldn't really. Yeah, so it's interesting to see like how they all do it. But yeah, amazing. Yeah, both amazing. Their own right, so
his last little stand up was pretty good too. The last one he did since once he got slapped, he was pretty funny.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
To follow up on CJ's though question, like CJ, how do you keep your stress levels? And I feel like you never stress. Like you always smiling and vibing, bro. Like how do you say not stress? Like don't have kids. I feel that one, but
yeah, that's the first one.
I ain't got kids to, you know, to stress me at. But yeah, for me, I've been practicing, like, to Marcus' point, like, I actually have been practicing doing mindfulness sessions on the Nike app. So I've actually been doing that, like, in the mornings to just decompress before starting my day. So I started out on the right foot. So that has been something I have been adding in. But I take the PK route sometimes. I, you know, get me a beverage. I'm a whiskey guy, so I get me a whiskey on the rocks.
That burns. That sounds like it puts hair in your chest.
It do put hair in your chest. That's why you see this beard, bro.
I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that, bro. I don't like that. No, no.
Well, yeah, I mean, if there's like any time, like training may not be going the way I want it to go, I just try to keep things in perspective. That, you know, a bad training session or a bad week of training is not going to be, you know, predictive of what's going to happen on race day, because everything just accumulates and everything builds off one another. So I try and just stay level headed that way.
The easy runs, man, you can really make your easy run a stress reliever. If you run it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
If you actually run it as an easy run, you can. That's a nice stress reliever, man.
And then just remember, like, your, like, it's cheesy, but just remember your why. Like, why are you running? Like, what brought you joy in running? So for some people, if it was going to your club run, go to your club run. Enjoy the company of others. If it's you just having that solitude and getting lost in your own thoughts, go get lost in your thoughts. If you need to go to a trail and be out in nature, get some fresh air, go to the trail and be out in nature. Because there was a reason why you started running and picking it up and starting doing it on the regular. And if exactly. You can just always go back to that place, you'll always be in a good spot to recenter yourself.
I would add to that, though, like, I think your whys can be positive, but also think your whys can be negative as well. Like, so for me, the season I'm in for Boston, I've got like two negative whys that people perceive, but the ones that like piss you off and you're out the door type thing. But yeah, I think it does change, though. Like, you don't hold on to it, but sometimes it does change.
Yeah.
Like, you know, are you saying, like, you had a bad race and, like, okay, I got to get the redemption. Like,
no,
is that be a negative one or?
Nah, not the redemption tour, but, like, I mean, I don't want to go to it.
Somebody
dead. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, that sort of thing. Someone's done something, or you want to, like, you could, like, you want to prove yourself right in that situation. Or, and sometimes it can be a good thing because it, like, gets you up and, like, making healthy the choices and, you know, getting up earlier and, you know, get the runs in, eating a little bit better, you know, all those little things. So, like I said, it's not going to be able to hold on to like the next training block, but it's giving me the fire for what I need right now. So,
yeah, that makes sense. Like, you always got to have an antagonist. And for you, it's, you know, coming back from the injury, coming back from, you know, that bad race, you know, you want to make sure that you redeem yourself and do better the next one. So it's in the back of your head to keep you motivated, like, okay, now I got to do this workout. Now I got to get to this next week. Then I'm going to get to the race and I'm going to go out there and absolutely crush it and not have a repeat performance. So
I make sense. You know, you say that though, like, just to add context to that, like, you'd think that, but for me in the build up to Boston, I'm not really stressing too much. Even though I've said about my whys, when I'm actually running, I'm not thinking about it too much. It's just like a little bit before the door out the door and out, but like, I'm not thinking too much or put too much stress on myself because this is where I started. I'm actually just enjoying it. I'm just trying to put the work in and then whatever happens. Because as you guys know, you can have like the best work, like training block, and you don't have the perfect race. My mindset now is like, what if you have a really average block, but you have an amazing race? Like, what could happen? So I'm like, you just never know. Just keep showing up, keep doing the work, and you know what I mean? And just take it from there. Rather, because I think a lot of stress sometimes does come from like expectations of what we think we should be doing or other people expect it on us. And I'm like, why go into it with that? Like, I'm just going to go into it and enjoy it, but don't get me wrong. Like, enjoy it is not like just see what happens. We're all going there to do our best in the build-up. And in the race, we're going to do what we can on the day. But before that, like, you can't, well, it is what it is.
Stress definitely killed the run, man. Like, that's just 101. Stress, if you run in stress, if you too uptight, you're not going to do your best, so. Yeah, you had incredible training block, but then if you get the race day and you kind of stressing it 1 mile off and you start to panic and trying to make up for it or whatever, I could see how a race could go downhill and not really reflect your training that you put in up until then. The other day, though, on my run, kind of like what CJ was saying, why, but it was just like the question was, how did I get here? Like, how did I get to this point? Like, where I'm at right now. Like, yeah, I know from the start how I got there, but how do you get from there to where I'm at right now? And then I was going to ask y'all, which one give y'all more motivation? Proving somebody wrong or proving somebody right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you have people that support you and they say they believe in you and they want you to, you know, they believe you can do what you say you're going to do. Then you have people that kind of doubt you and kind of like, nah, you can't do that. I kind of put you in a box. So which one kind of motivates you the most? I've always said I'd rather prove somebody right than prove them wrong, because I don't really like care to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on the proving right. Because the people I'm around, it also depends around the people that you have around you. Like, I got a good supporting cast, like several, couple group chats of runners, and like they're like, "All right, you can do this," or "You should definitely be at this time." And there's some high goals in them. Like, they believe in me. Like, man, they kind of put pressure on me when they do that stuff. But in a way, though, they're believing in me, so they're not doubting me. And like, dang, I don't want to prove them right. That part gets a little stressful too sometimes, though, because like, dang, I'm trying to live up to my guy's standards, things of that nature. I'm like, sometimes I have to wheel them back in. I was like, hey, that's, we got some time before I get there. But proving somebody right, though, is definitely there. Because I mean, since I got into running, I haven't had really anybody like doubt me, because I mean, I just came out of nowhere, to be honest. So like, I just showed up on a few people's social medias and boom. So definitely proving somebody right when it comes to running.
You've got to find what works for you. I think sometimes it is proving other people wrong. Sometimes it's proving other people right. I don't know if there's a guy called, I forget his name, but it's called the Iron Cowboy with his nickname. And he said something about like proving yourself right. And I quite like that, because it reframes it to like just put it on you. Imagine sometimes you can achieve the thing and then they're pissed at the person you're expecting a reaction from, that you don't get the reaction that you're hoping from. So I think it's like a mix of different things. I totally get you. Sometimes it just goes to be like, this person annoyed me or whatever, and I really want to show them that I'm whatever. And sometimes it's from a healthy place where you're just like, oh no, I'm all zen and I just want to prove myself right, and you know, I want everyone to, you know, hold hands and sing Kumbaya and all that other stuff. Only guys are just like, fuck them.
I don't know. Like, I know, like on the Last Dance documentary, how Jordan always switched it up to where he definitely wanted to go after the people that doubted him. Like, that's what his motivating. And so when I think about myself and I think about during races, you know what I'm saying, that last couple miles, like if it's a half marathon, you get to mile 10 and you got to make this decision. Am I going to pack it in or I'm going to push? I always think about the people that kind of do believe in me, or the people that really mean something about me. Like, I'll be thinking about my kids or something, how I want to be an example of pushing through, you know. So I've never thought about, you know. Now, I'm not going to say during training I don't, like, because there's been a couple of times where when I first started running, I was, like, real, like, new to it and free with my thoughts. And still I'm kind of free with my thoughts, and I would just kind of put out there what time I was going to run. And then you would have people be like, nah, you ain't going to do that your first one. You might want to bag off of that a little bit. And I'm like, how you going to tell me? How you going to put your limitations on me? So, yeah, that'll be like motivation going into the race. But actually, when I do get into that situation, it's always, I always go back to the people that that's had a positive effect on my life. Like in New York, when I was ready to pack it in, when I had COVID, I was like, nah, Rob going to put me out the group if I don't get under 3 hours.
And you know it.
Remember who you are. You're Black Jesus. Deliver. He just did it. He turned up.
What about you, CJ?
That's a tough question. I think it just, for me, it just depends on the situation. Like, but if I was to lean more towards one, it would definitely be just proven right. And to Marcus' point, it's proving myself right. Because a lot of times it's just trying to just hold yourself accountable to what you say you was going to do. And there's no better feeling than to be like, I said I was going to do it and I actually went out and did it. And that feeling is just a great feeling to, you know, accomplishing whatever you set your goals to do. Because when you prove somebody else wrong, right? Like, oh, they were doubting you. It's a good feeling too, because like, yeah, you said I couldn't do it and then I did it. But when you like, you know what? I said I was going to do it. I did the work and I did it. It's just a whole nother feeling of like, what else can I do? You know?
Yeah. And I think that motivate people, man. When you do that, I think that inspire people because they can look at this man said he was going to do this. This man did the training, and then he went out and did it. So if I say I'm going to stop smoking, then I can just go out and do it just like he just did. Went out and did what he said he was going to do.
And that's it's the same principles, right? It's just applying the same principles to another area for inspiration, you know?
It really is, man.
That's why we love sports. That's why we love the game.
That's why I would never tell somebody what they cannot do, man. Like, it's just, you don't have the power to say, hey, you can't do that. Like, I would rather tell them, hey, you can do it. Just make sure, you know, you got all your steps in order. And when it get tough, be willing to pay their price. Because it'd be sometimes, I ain't gonna lie, I'd be in a situation where I'm like, damn, why did I say I was gonna do that? Because now you can't bag out.
It's always a price to pay.
Yeah, you gotta pay the price.
It's always a price to pay. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to pay the price for, you know, the success that you've
said you wanted? Looking to? Yeah.
Said you wanted.
You said how bad? You wanted it.
How bad do you want it?
Very true. That's very true. I think as well, like, so on top of that, like, you don't realize sometimes, like, even though we're all like amateur runners, I know, Rob, you've got ambitions to go higher as well, but like how running impacts other areas of your life as well that you don't really realize. And it could be running, but it could be something else. And it goes back to your point, Phil, like you never, like you shouldn't like disregard other people's dreams, because it might not be sport, it could be something else, but you never know what they get from that and how it can impact other areas of their life and develop resilience and all that kind of stuff.
Definitely, man.
I'm sure this is probably...
No, I can, like, I remember, like I said, when I first started running, I was like Mr. Social Media, just post whatever on my mind, do my runs. And I can remember I had a classmate, man, and he was dealing with cancer. And he used to always, like, come in on my runs, or if I go to a race, he would come in. And then he would also inbox me. He'd be like, man, you know, he going through this cancer thing, and he was like, man, as long as you keep running, I'm going to keep fighting. And he was like, when I beat cancer this time, we're going to do a race together and this and that. And he beat it the first time, and he actually did do what he said he was going to do. I think he ran like an 8K race one time. But then, like, maybe like a year or two later, the cancer came back, and he didn't make it that time. But I can just remember him telling me, hey, you keep running, I'm going to keep fighting. And so
damn, that's
stuff like that, man, you just never know what type of effect you can have on a person when they going through something in life. So, and the crazy thing is, like, we never got to run a race together, but I remember him saying that. So it was like maybe a year after he had passed away, and I was looking for a half marathon to run before I was going to try to run a marathon in Boston Qualify. And it was a race in his hometown, and I was like, I signed up for it because and it was paying money, so I was like, I could go win this race, and I could use that money to get my Vaporfly, because I refused to pay that much for a shoe at the time. I actually used to hate on people that wore Vaporfly. So I was like, if I could win this race, I'd get those Vaporflies. And I remember telling a couple of our other classmates, and they came to the race, they cheered for me, they was in different parts of the race. And I didn't see them at the beginning, but, like, I saw one of my classmates at, like, mile 8. And the fact that she was there gave me all the pickup I needed to go ahead and crushed this one dude. And then I had a couple other classmates at the finish line. It was just like, it was pretty cool to actually got to run the race. And I thought about him during the process. So sometimes proving people right and proving people wrong. Cause I can remember in that race, man, the guy that was, I guess he called himself a favorite to win it, cause that was his hometown. His parents, I guess that was his parents that was on the course, and the route was out and back. And when we went out, I was cool with letting him lead the way. But coming back in, I had passed him, and we went back by his parents, and he was right on my heels. So when I passed, I could hear them. They were standing up clapping. But as soon as I passed, he passed, and I could hear, I guess that was his father talking about, I want to know, when are you going to pass him? I'm like, damn. He's going to say it like that, who I can hear. And we had maybe like two and a half miles to go. But we had this big climb to make. And I don't really run hills that well, especially at that time. And I can remember thinking, okay, this guy is coming now. He's coming. I mean, he's going to give everything he got after hearing that. And I'm like, I'm going to chill going up this hill. But when we get to the top of this hill, I run good going downhill, so I'm like, I'm gonna drop him. I'm gonna leave him right there. And that's exactly what I did. We got to the top of the hill. He had pulled even with me, maybe got like a half a step on me. But when we went down, it was over.
Bury him.
Because I had a marathon, classic. In my thinking process, I was like, dang, this dude is not going away. So in my head, I got to thinking, I'm like, okay, second place, pay $50 less. I got a marathon in 2 weeks. There's no sense in me going all out to try to win an extra $50. I could just chill and take the second place prize and still buy my Vaporflies or whatever. But when dude said that, like, I just want to know, when are you going to pass him? And the way he said it, it's like he had a anger in his voice or something when he said it. And it just, I don't know, it did something to me. It flipped the switch on. I guess it put me in Jordan mode then, because I was like, nah, I ain't no way I'm letting this dude win now.
And I took that personally.
Hey, remember one episode when he was, excuse me, when he was like the karate man. What you say? Man, that was you.
Dude was arrogant though, man. Dude was very arrogant. You could tell from the start, like, I used to always go to the start line. I could kind of pick out who was going to be trying to run fast or whatever, and I just follow him behind them. So at the start line, he was already pretty arrogant. I can remember early in the race, I was asking dude what kind of time he was going to run. And he was like, I'm going to try to run at least under 125. He was like, but I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if I'm going to have somebody that's going to push me. And like, he telling me this. He's saying, I don't know if I'm going to have somebody going to push me. And I'm like, dang, okay. So we kind of went down a little bit, and I kind of caught back up with him and got a little bit in front of him. And when he asked me the question, he said, what are you going to try to run? I looked at him. I said, I'm going to try to run a little bit faster than you.
I love that.
I said, I'm going to try to run a little bit faster than you. And so it was pretty cool. So after the race, there's one lady that came up to me. She was like, I love the fact that you beat him. That was a real good race you ran. She was like, I stayed back and I kind of watched it all. She was like, I'm so glad you beat him. He's just so arrogant.
That's
meant to be. Jesus meant to be.
I saw that guy again at another race. I actually ran against him two other times. Like one time I saw him, he was actually running the half and I was running the full. So we didn't get the kind of race. But at that race, he kind of was with his friends and he was kind of tell his friends about, yeah, that's the guy that, what did he say? I barely beat him or something, but he tried to downplay it. And then I gave him a look and he kind of corrected it a little bit. And then the second time, the next time I saw him was at a race where he kind of made it like he didn't see me, but of course I went up and spoke to him. And then I crushed him that race too. And after that, he kind of knew. I'm not going to beat you.
Did you say you don't recognize me because all you see is my back?
Nah, man, I don't try to be like that. You know, I talk trash, but I'm not going to initiate it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm all for it. I'm a fan of it.
I don't have no problem with it.
I don't even care if you're better than me. You're going to catch these words regardless.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with somebody talking. Yeah. It's kind of like 50 Cent said on that little clip they showed him. He's like, I don't want a problem with nobody. I'm not a bully. I don't have no problem with nobody. But when somebody say they have a problem, then I'll be like, no problem.
That's what I said. Oh, man. Yeah, I think fair play, though. The way the story started off, though, I think that's like a proper strong why, though, like with your friend. And yeah, sorry to hear that as well. But like, even going back to stuff you said recently as well, like, I don't know if it's the same for you guys, but I think I do search out things within the race sometimes to piss me off, sometimes to like push forward. And sometimes it's the stuff your competitors do. It's not even like they're being malicious. Sometimes it's like they can just be joking or stuff. You're like, in my head, I'm like, oh, you fix the game. Do you know what I mean? They're not even being horrible. I'm like, all right, that's it. We are racing. Sometimes you need like that kind of thing in your own mind just to like push you forward, especially when you're like you're hurting at the end.
Yeah. When you at the end, man, you just gotta do whatever it takes. At a marathon at the end, man, you gotta do whatever it takes, man. Whatever it takes to get you to the finish line.
I'll give this one, give context of what I just said, right? So in my recent race, it was a half marathon, and this guy was come up to me and he was really nice and was chatting away. And we were running side by side. And do you know sometimes when people are running side by side and like, you're like, dude, there's a whole road. Like, you don't need to be this close to me. And anyway, so that was like, okay, fine, whatever. And he was chatting to me, really nice chap. And then like we approached this photographer and he sped up. And do you know that picture of me in New York with my arms are spread across? And did that whole thing in the picture. I was just like, bitch stole my look. I'm like, this is not going to fly. I was like, I'm taking you down.
Damn, that's wild.
Hey, 0 to 100 real quick.
Yeah. But the positive to the story is I did cross the finish line before him. So, yeah. He was a nice guy, but I needed that needle sometimes to push me forward.
Boy, yeah. I had a guy clip me one time in the race, man. And when he clipped me the first time, it was like, you know, he kind of like apologized. And then, like, maybe 25 seconds later, he clipped me again. And then I looked back at him, and then he kind of got a little attitude. And like, I'm just running straight. And, like, I'm in his way. Then go around if you want to run fast. But the second time when he got that attitude, I was like, oh, yeah, it's on. So I immediately kind of, like, slowed down, got right on the side of him, got, like, right up on his shoulder. And then I kind of tucked right behind him. And I knew the course, so I knew where I was going to drop him off at. And I can remember coming around the corner, the bike guy out in front, and he telling them, you know, who's coming in first. You know, he got the first two runners. And we turned the corner right there in front of Central High School, and I just, like, dropped the hammer on him, left him. And I'm feeling good. And then the next thing I know, I see somebody coming up on me on the outside. But it was a different guy, man. And so I look at the guy, and the guy like a Kenyan-looking guy. And I'm like, dang. So immediately, I'm like, okay, we gonna go then. Let's go. You know, that's what you want to do. We gonna race. So we running, man. I'm looking down at my watch now, and I'm like, dang, like we down there, man, like 5:20 pace, and we still like 2 miles to go. So we're like 5:20 pace, and I'm looking at this dude, and this dude running in sweatpants, man. Dude got on sweatpants, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, dang, he look like he got another gear. Like it don't even look like he running that hard. So at that point, I said, nah, I don't have to drop off, let him do this. Maybe I can catch him a little bit later in the race, right for the finish. But ain't no way I'm letting this dude clip me 2 times and then got smart with me on the course, beat me.
So you had to make a business decision.
Yeah, I had to make a business decision.
You dropped Buddy.
Back. Yeah, I dropped
but,
Buddy.
But can you do came up and had to give you the business and sweatpants.
Dude gave me the business, man. Dude gave me the business. I ain't even know this dude, man. He just come out of nowhere. I'm like, dang. Back there tracking, it's like every time I would turn a corner, I would look back to see if anybody, you know, else in the race. And I saw dude a few times, but I thought he was a local dude that I kind of knew. And I'm like, he ain't got the juice.
He's the American Elliot, bro. He's the American Elliot.
And this was a race I had won before, like several years before that. And so afterwards, after the race, I saw the guy. He had the trophy and everything. His friend was taking pictures of him. And so I just went up and talked to him, you know. And so me and dude became pretty good friends. He actually ran Boston with me that year, maybe, what was it, 2 years ago? Benjamin. He called me the other day. He was going to get married or whatever.
Oh, nice.
He was like, bro, you got to be in the wedding. He was like, get your suit ready. But man, that dude race. I promise y'all, man, dude had on sweatpants and some busted up shoes. And I was like, I cannot believe this dude just dropped me like that in sweatpants.
What about the other dude? Did he pass? Did you finish ahead of him?
Oh, yeah, I beat him. I was not going to let him win. And then after the race, he came up and tapped me. He's like, man, good race, man. Good race. I'm like, yeah, you just, you know. Like, I was cool the first time he clipped me, but the second time, and then when I look back, he kind of got an attitude about it. And that kind of just ticked me off, man.
I want to see you like this whole road. One-on-one with somebody during a race like that. I like to sit there and watch that.
It's pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool. I'm going to have a couple of moments where, you know, in your head, you thinking like I ran Woodlands half marathon 1 year, and I got in the elite field. And I can remember getting to the start line thinking, damn, man, everybody at this start line, at the slowest, going to run 1:15 for a half. You know, my best is that. So, and hell, that was a downhill race. How the hell am I going to stay with these dudes, man? And I remember talking to my little brother the night before the race, and he was like, man, you got at least beat one of them. So that was in my head. So, like, the first 3 miles, man, I went out, and I got into a little pack, and I was like, dude, you doing this. You know how you see the world majors and stuff, and how the elites be in the pack running. And so I'm in the pack running with these people, man, the first 3-4 miles. And I remember getting like the mile 4. And I don't know about y'all, but sometimes like when my watch beep and you see how fast you actually going, and you be like, damn, I'm way too hot.
It's like, yeah, too. Because, I mean, you could be going super hot and just going with the flow. And you could be, like, in tune to keep going. But then when you see it, it's like, oh, snap. We finna be toast.
Yeah, because, like, you doing it and it feels natural and you in the flow. But you don't know how fast you're going. And the moment you look at your watch and see how fast you're going, at that point, it becomes, panic. You working too hard. But that was a really good race. That was a good learning curve for me, man. Like that race kind of let me know that you can go out hard, but you're gonna have to fight like hell to survive it. But I actually had a pretty good time. Finished like top 3 masters and top. I think I was 2nd place master in the elite division, and then like 3rd overall master and everything. But yeah, that was fun. It's always fun racing, like. Actual competition, whether you lose or win, is pretty good. I like competition.
I think it's cool, like hearing like the backstories and like this all the stuff behind. To be honest,
oh yeah,
you don't always get this stuff. So one thing I want to do before we wrap up though is Tokyo's coming up quite quick. CJ, like, listen, how are you feeling,
man? About the race? How it's like 3 weeks, man.
How you feeling?
I'm thankful that I'm trending towards, I shouldn't have any issues running the actual race. Had to just change my mindset because I wanted to go into the race ready to snag a PR and just give my best effort in Tokyo. But now I was literally just looking at my mileage chart and it's like 4 weeks of 0 miles, you know. So just going into this race now with the mindset of just having a great time. Party pacing it. If I need to do run, walk, I'll run, walk. I don't think I will, but just making sure I just do right by my ankle because I need that to fully heal so that I can, you know, be ready for the next races and get back to training. I got some big goals that I personally just set to just see how far I can really take it. You know what I'm saying? Just see how great I could potentially be in this sport. So just getting healthy is just number one. So Tokyo is going to be a huge vibe. I'm excited to be on the same course. And because it has the switchbacks, yeah, I'll be able to see Kipchoge and some fun out there. And I'm super fired up to do that because being in Chicago, being in Boston, like we didn't see them at all on the court because point to point. But because of how the course is in Tokyo, we'll be able to see them. So It's going to be a good time. I got my race singlet. I already got the fit ready. The only thing missing right now is them J's, y'all. And we going to get the J's.
You got to have a travel fit, too. You got to have a travel fit.
Oh, I'm going to have the travel fit. Oh, I'm going to have the fit. I'm going to have the fit. So don't you worry, Rob. The fit going to be there. So we got my friends coming. And then the Black and Major group, huge group going out there.
Yeah, yeah.
We got people getting their 6 stars out there. And it's going to be a vibe. It's going to be a vibe for sure. Hopefully I can dap up Kip. I might be able to dap up Kip that weekend and ask him, you know, for the secrets other than oatmeal to run fast. So we'll see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tokyo, I will say that is the best race where you get to see the elites. You won't see them in Chicago. You won't see them in Boston. London, you get a chance to see them maybe in London.
You do. If you're on the sub 3 pen, quicker jump, you will see him after you get off the bridge halfway.
Yeah.
But if you're quicker, you'll probably see the men's. But yeah, you might see the women's after. It depends how they stagger it out. But yeah, generally see the men and the women's.
So yeah, so Tokyo and London, probably the only two where you'll get a glimpse of the elites during the race.
London 25, right here. That's a goal. Boston, I'll do London.
All right. Yeah, we need International Rob to enter the chat soon. So we need to make that happen.
All right, quick wrap up though before we get it in. I know, good luck though for Tokyo. I know it's not easy. I know I hear you though with the ankle, man. It's tough. And I like the way you reframe that as well, to just like the mindset going into the race and setting your expectations. So I think respect you for that. It's like tough as well, like you're saying, because I remember when I was running with you in Boston, and it's frustrating when you do so well and then you're just like, you know, you take a step back, because I knew you were just kicking on from there. So, you know, we'll get through this and hopefully you can get back to that place as well. I know you talked a little bit about where you are, PK, as well, and getting back into adding those miles and doing the work. And how about you, Rob? How's training going?
It's going well. Can't complain. I had a little bit of like a minor hamstring issue early in the week, but I got it checked out, got some good medicine, and I was good to go by later in the week. Another 100-mile week in the books. Body's holding up well, so knock on wood. I'm just excited to get closer to the start line. I signed up for a half marathon in March, so we'll see how that goes. Don't know how Coach will plan it as far as like race it all out or do some like train, like make it like a training run inside of it. So we'll see. I think I'm going to hold off on a couple 5Ks that I know that are coming up in the next 2 weeks. Just to make sure the hamstring is good and the body's good. But overall, everything's going well. I can't complain.
It's good to hear, man. You want to keep stacking those bricks, man. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing how your last dance goes as well for Boston. Talking to Boston, I did my first long run today with some friends. And we did not script this. We all turned up in a different variation of like a Boston jacket or a Boston top from different years.
Oh, yeah.
They stunting on people bad.
Right?
I know.
That's straight flex.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's the same for you, though, but sometimes I put on my Boston jacket, like, if I'm going to a run, like, I need to dig deep or just get my mindset right, like, you, like, remember who you are type thing. That's what my Boston jacket remembers one me of, like that cape type thing.
Sometimes it be days like that.
What year
did you run on when I run in the neighborhood?
Last year's 23.
Oh, okay, yeah, all that shit. When I want to be just, like, gangster, I put on the 2018.
Yeah. The thing is, though, like, the 2018 jacket, I've got it, but it's too hot. Like, do you know what I mean? The 2023 one, even though it's not got embroidery, I know it's a better jacket to run in because it's a lot lighter.
Yeah, it's pretty much a running jacket.
Yeah, but 2023 jacket is like, if I'm... that's the jacket I wear when I go to the expo or I go somewhere along that lines. You're like, you know I was in 2018, right?
Yeah.
I just want to put out there. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's the flex right there.
That's what we're all doing to this. We're all doing it. We hate the jacket guys, cover.
CJ.
It's the flex.
These flexers over here.
That's how I go.
I did
be that humble brag when it comes to them Boston jackets, man. That's just, you know.
I really try not to wear my Boston jackets until I'm going to Boston, though. Like,
same.
Because everybody flexing them all the time. Now, every now and then, like if I got on some, you know, some blue shoes or some shoes, I wore that the 2021 jacket, the blue and yellow one. But outside of that, I kind of like wore my different jackets or whatever. But CJ,
I flex it at a race to spectate.
I did check that in your training when you said week two of training. I'm like, yeah, he gonna through Tokyo and as a training run at this point. But that's a good thing though. Knowing when to say when.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you gotta know when to hold him. Know when to fold him. Know when to walk away.
Facts. Absolute facts. All right, fellas. Always good to chat with you and it's a pleasure. Until the next time.
We're go Eagles! To that,
yeah. For real.